And we're back on Big Board Sports. Roger Weiland, Michael Johnson Jr., Hunter DePace as well this morning, and Will Brown, the new boys basketball coach, and what, Dean of Admissions, I think. Maybe he can correct me on the exact title there, but he's going to be coaching boys basketball at Green Tech, and that's Will Brown, and he joins us here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Coach, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
We're good. Thanks,
congratulations,
Coach.
Will.
Yeah, congrats.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You know, you're running the gamut now, right? We had a press conference when you were the new coach of the Patroons, press conference, the new coach at St. Rose, and we attended the press conference yesterday at Green Tech, and you said, Will, this is a good fit for you and your family, and I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, no, it's a really good fit for me and my family. I think at some point, you know, as long as I've been doing this, you know, I've taken great pride in not having to relocate my family. I've been doing this for about 30 years, and 27 of those 30 years, my family's been in the Albany area. And luckily, the 3 years that we weren't, I didn't have any kids yet. I was down at Sullivan County Community College in the Catskills. So, you know, I was commuting back and forth to Queens College, you know, down in New York City. You know, I was asked to go down there and jumpstart, you know, that program. I competed against the AD in college, and we know a lot of the same people. And I'll tell you what, it was tough. They gave me a faculty apartment on campus, but I wasn't going to move into it until the actual school year started. So, because I didn't want to be away from my family, you know, so I was commuting back and forth, and it took its toll on me. And then at some point, you look in the mirror and you're like, why are you doing this? And the Green Tech job came out of, you know, came out of nowhere, came out of left field, basically, and had some communication with Steve France and the athletic director. And he was like, wait a minute, we have a dean of students position that's open as well. We can make this work for you, you know, if you want to make it work. And, you know, I really took my time and asked an awful lot of questions. You don't know what you don't know. I've never been at the high school level, and obviously I've never been a dean before. And, you know, a lot of people out there just say basketball is basketball, but it's not. Every level is a little bit different. And, you know, they were very patient with me. You know, it took a couple of weeks before I actually made a decision to do it. And, you know, here we are today. But, you know, this is, for me, my younger son's going to be a sophomore at LaSalle. My older son, you know, didn't listen to me at all. He's beginning his coaching career. He's a graduate assistant at Franklin Pierce University, a Division II school in the NE10, and he's crazy enough to want to coach for a living, so they're paying for his master's degree, and, you know, he's starting that now, and, you know, so this gives me great flexibility to see my younger son play, to follow my older son's career. The only one that's probably unhappy is my wife, because I'm home now.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I'm the empty nester too. I got no kids in the house. Brady's a freshman at Ithaca playing college football. Rachel's back for her senior year at Salisbury on the swim team, and yeah, it's just me and Kel. So I hear you on that one. But you know, I'm looking.
Well, the good thing is you know, you can jump in a car and you know, go watch them compete, which I'm sure will be exciting for you and Kelly.
Oh, yeah. We're heading out to see Brady in a scrimmage, in fact, tomorrow late afternoon. So we'll see what he's up to, grinding through those two-a-days and all of that now the classes have started. But, hey, Will, I look at Green Tech, and they lost in the section to AA final against Shaker back in March. But, I mean, their history has been pretty good here recently. They won three consecutive sectional titles, and they won the 2024, am I right on that? Did they win the state championship, or was that
23 or 24?
Yeah,
one of those two.
They won a state championship. So they do have some history of winning and being very, very competitive.
Well, one thing that I learned and learned quickly is that obviously there's history and tradition here in regards to boys basketball, but basketball is important here. They want to be successful, but they were completely upfront with me. This is potentially a complete rebuild. They had several kids graduate, and then also the previous coach took a bunch of kids with him to the Kipp School.
Yeah,
in Albany. So, honestly, I will be relying on some inexperienced varsity players, and then JV kids that'll be moving up, and then you know potentially whoever decides to possibly transfer in here before the first day of classes. But the timing for that's not great because we start school on September 2nd. So, I think year one could be a major challenge. I think year two will be terrific because that gives me plenty of time to figure it out. But, you know, the good thing is I'm going to do my best to run this like a college program, you know, really focus on that academic component, the player development component. This gym and weight room will be open every day, and then the actual basketball component. So I do think kids in the area that are hungry to play college basketball, I think this will be a really good fit for them. My phone has been blowing up, but I also have to explain the Section 2 transfer rules to all these AAU coaches and people that are calling me. It's not as simple as, hey, I want to play for Coach Brown and Green Tech. We're going to transfer in. What do we need to do? So, educating people on the transfer rules, because obviously we're going to operate within the framework of Section 2 transfer rules. That's a big challenge for people that want to transfer. So, we'll figure that out. But like I said, I think this will be good for me. I think it'll be good for the kids and hopefully good for Green Tech.
Yeah, now Green Tech, we all know, does not play in a league. So that affords you to play some other teams and put together obviously a challenging schedule. But I still hope, Will, that you play the Section 2 team, because there's nothing better than a Green Tech matchup against, Shaker or Shenandoah or one of the stronger teams in Section 2 year in and year out. I hope that's still on the agenda for you.
Well, for me, I'm open to all of that. As I've learned, there hasn't been much interest from Section 2 teams to play in the past here. Hopefully that changes. Everything's going to be done, the right way. We're going to have good kids who are going to, be responsible and act the right way and go to class and hopefully be successful on the court. But one of the appealing things to the job with me is the great flexibility that we have scheduling wise. I can go down and, potentially play in a tournament at Christ the King. I can go out to Buffalo. I can go to Springfield, Mass. So we're a little unique in that regard. But with that being said, I'm open to playing, whoever wants to play from Section 2. Obviously this year is going to be a tremendous challenge. So it's really important, in my opinion, that I schedule to our personnel and cater to our personnel, because we also want to make sure that we're able to compete. I'm open. Anybody that has an interest in playing, can give me a call and we can figure it out. That's something that I'm working on right now. We have zero games scheduled and I need to get to 20. So I'm going to have some fun with that. As you can imagine, that's going to be a tremendous challenge. But I was one of the few coaches in the country at the college level that handled scheduling himself. Usually the head coaches put it on the assistant coach's plate and they figured it out. I handled it myself, so I know the challenges, I know how it works, and as I like to say, everyone lies about their schedule. No, we're full, and then you find out that they're trying to get games with other schools, so I always get a kick out of that. I'm going to be open, transparent, and you know, hopefully we can get some good games in Section 2. I'll definitely get some quality games outside of Section 2, and, you know, we'll have some fun with this.
Well, hey, Will, I mean, back in the day when I said yesterday, one of my hits, I said, I think I did just about every game you did on the collegiate level, either radio or TV. And I remember during those years, we would always have fun discussions, you and your coaching staff, about our News Channel 13 All-Star team. So now you may have some players that you may be maybe coaching, maybe not next year, but down the road, that might be News Channel 13 All-Stars, Coach. You never know.
Well, you know how it is, Rod. You've been around me long enough. When you have good players, you're a much better coach. you know, so obviously we need to get some good players, you know, in here, and we will really have to develop the kids that are here right now. And if we have any players on your Channel 13 All-Star team, then we should be pretty good. So, you know, looking forward to that. And if I do have some good ones and you don't put them on, you know that I'll pick up the phone and call you and complain about it, you know, like everyone else does, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
You know, but no, this is going to, like I said, this is going to be good. Right now it's going to be a challenge, but it'll be a fun challenge. And, you know, anyone out there that wants to, you know, come play at Green Tech, give me a call. obviously, we're going to handle things the right way, all kidding aside.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the key. I mean, you change the climate a little bit, because there's no reason why you can't change the climate and get games at Green Tech with schools that you know what the schools are, Shens, the Shakers, the Saratogas, coming to Green Tech to play. I mean, hopefully that changes in the very near future.
Yeah, you hope so. You know, I think there's been a stereotype here for years, and maybe some of it deservingly so, but not all of it. As I've learned, there's some really good people that work here at Green Tech, and that's a big reason why I decided to take the job. Like I said, I sat on it for a few weeks, just wanted to do my homework. But when I was coaching, in the area for so long, I heard the stereotypes and also the public-private thing, and it is what it is. I can just promise everyone in this area that things are going to be done right. And if there's anyone that comes to our games that doesn't act appropriately, they won't be welcome back. Our kids, I guarantee you, will be respectful and act appropriately. And we're going to have a good product that we're going to put on the court. You know, this year will be a tremendous challenge, but we'll navigate it. And the kids that are here will get better. And you know how much I believe in preparation, Raj. So I think, we'll be really prepared. I think that'll be a major adjustment, I think, for the kids, the amount of preparation and scouting that we do. But I love the gym. The gym's going to be open. The weight room's going to be open. We're getting after it right away. And, it's the way it should be. And hopefully, you'll cover us like I know you will. And I'll apologize to you on the radio right now for not responding to your texts and phone calls. I was asked by the people at Green Tech here to, hey, we want this to be a surprise, even though there are no surprises. And they wanted to have this press conference. So I'll give you a phone call in the next day or two.
Yeah, no worries. I'm happy for you. Obviously, big family decision too. So congrats on the new job. And we cover the high school sports pretty well here in the 518. So we'll see you around, Coach.
No doubt. And like I said, I appreciate you having me on, and appreciate the interest in the coverage. And hopefully you guys can enjoy what's left of the summer. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Sounds good, Will. We'll talk soon. Thank you, Will. That's Will Brown,
the new head
coach of Green Tech. How about that? All right, we're back on Big Board Sports. Time for the Coach's Show. And that means Jared Ambrose joins us here in his time slot on a Wednesday ahead of a little road trip to Iowa. And kickoff is finally here. Coach Ambrose, how are you this morning, bud?
I'm great. How are we doing?
We're good.
We're good, Coach. Thanks.
We are good. Yeah. You had a spirited practice yesterday, I thought. Good practice, and seemed like the energy level was up with your team yesterday.
Absolutely. I mean, it's game week. You know, so much goes into training, you know, year round for these guys to get 11 or 12 promised opportunities. So when you're a week out, you know, it's kind of like Christmas. You get a little bit more cheery, you know, a couple days out from Christmas.
What have you seen the preseason? What do you like? What are your concerns? Give me a little overview of where the new head coach of the Great Danes is right now with kickoff on Saturday at Iowa.
You know, I mean, we've seen a ton of growth, Raj. I mean, across the board, every position, there's been good competition. And, you know, good competition side of the ball. I think we've improved on special teams. You know, so, you know, my concern is just maybe, you know, we got some guys who kind of got to knock the rust off a little bit if they haven't played in a while, or, you know, some guys who got to get some of that in-game experience that always happens year in, year out. But other than that, you know, I'm really excited for our guys to go compete against somebody not wearing Great Dane on their body.
Yeah, well, you're going to get it against Iowa. I was on a podcast in Iowa last night for about 50 minutes, or they're, you know, drilling me on UAlbany, and they said this. They said these knuckleheads who I was on with, reporters and whatever. They said the strength of Iowa is their defensive line. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I don't know where they spawned these creatures from, but Lord, I wish I had a couple of them.
Yeah, I hear there. The one guy was like, "Yeah, well, just so you know, Roger, this tell your coaching staff that this is the best defensive line we've had in Iowa in a long time." I'm like, I'm sure that Jaron Ambrose is well aware of that.
Well, you tell him, Roger, just so he knows, we watch a lot of film, so we're aware.
Well, let me ask you this, Jared. On the flip side of that, are there going to be growing pains this year, at least early, with the O-line? Are you concerned there?
Yeah, I mean, anytime, you know, we had three guys slated to come back in starting roles who got poached by the portal.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did our damnedest to try and make sure we could replace them. But that's always a struggle in and of itself when, you know, you're trying to find six-month replacements for guys who may have played, you know, like Nolan and Sean Duggery, who played two straight years.
So, no doubt.
That's always a little bit of a concern. But, you know, to the guys who are in-house's credit, and, you know, Dave Buchar, who I think is a hell of an O-line coach, they've done a good job growing together. So, you know, I think there'll be a couple hiccups. Just, you know, first game hiccups always happen. But I think these guys are going to grow into something that's going to be really productive as we move through.
We're talking with the head football coach at UAlbany, and that is Jaron Ambrose here, part of our weekly segment here sponsored by Broadview on Big Board Sports 104.5 The Team. ESPN Radio. Coach, what do you want to see from your obviously recently announced QB1, Jack Shields, on the road at Iowa come Saturday night?
I want to see him operate, MJ. I mean, you know, the quarterback position, the best way I can give a parallel to what it is, it's point guard, you know. Every now and again, you got a point guard who can score, but you got to, you know, distribute the ball the smart way and, you know, make sure it winds up in our hands. And that's what I want to see Jack do in this first start here at Albany. You know, he started before, so it's not like, you know, when Reese started against Baylor, he had no college game experience under his belt.
Right.
You know, Jack has college experience, so you know, I think he's going to go out there and, you know, show everybody what he's made of and be, you know, a tough son of a gun and, you know, operate our offense and lead us to some points.
Yeah, that was the other question these guys are drilling me on. How's your quarterback going to be? I said, how the hell do I know? I've never seen Jack Shields play the quarterback spot. But I got to tell you, Coach, when I interviewed him yesterday for our UAlbany Football Weekly Coaches Show, which makes its debut tonight, I was quite impressed with the way he answered the questions, the poise. He seems like he's, you know, he's a seasoned vet, even though he hasn't had a lot of experience starting games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jack, like myself, he's a lifelong football kid, you know, born into a football family. His father was a college coach, and now he's a high school coach. And, you know, as you guys well know, my father, a Hall of Fame football coach in Maryland. So he's a football junkie. You know, the only place where I've seen Jack show any level of discomfort is we had our Great Danetopia last week where all the freshmen that live on campus had to come into Casey Stadium, and we were addressing them almost like a yell session or a pep rally. I put Jack on the spot and gave him the microphone, and he looked at me like, Coach, come on, man. I'll take the snap. I'll throw the ball. I'll play football for you, but don't put me on a microphone in front of 5,000 people. So I got my money's worth out of it for sure.
Hey, on the defensive side of the ball, I was talking to Billy Nesselt, and he'll be in the studio with us tonight so he can further this on the coach's show, UAlbany Football Weekly. But the number zero and number nine look like they could, and really your defense as a whole looks to be improved. But Balansama and Sanogo, those two are studs, Coach Ambrose.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited for those two guys. You know, much like Anton and AJ, you really didn't see a ton of them production-wise until their second year in this system. And, you know, very similar Anton to Sama. You know, Anton flashed a little bit at the end of that 22 season. We felt Sama did some of that at the end of last year. And, you know, Abe has been solid as all get out, you know, his whole time here. So, you know, I'm excited to see their growth. You know, in 23, one of my favorite things was when after I would finish addressing the offense, I would just watch those two DNs go hunt quarterbacks. And, you know, I'm a football lifer, man. I'm a purist. I love seeing great defensive play. And, you know, those guys are going to bring it for us. I'm so excited for them.
Coach, who's a player that maybe us or the UAlbany football fans are maybe not that familiar with on this roster heading into the season, could be in either offense or defense, that you think is poised for a potential breakout season?
You know, I'll give you two. You know, defensively, I think Cam Stodgehill, you know, he's had an amazing camp. He's a local kid. You know, Cam also, he's 6'3", 220 pounds. He runs like the wind. And, you know, I think he is poised to be a guy for sure at our buck position. And he's so versatile, he could play in a number of different places. And then I think really the two guys in offense, I think they're going to spark for us this year are LaSalle Rose and Tavari Groves. You know, they've had both had amazing camps. They're both lightning in a bottle, you know, uniquely similar and different at the same time, which I know is hard to explain, but they both are, you're hard to get hands on. They got good natural ball skills and they can both flat out fly. So I think, you know, we got a couple guys and that's just to say three of them. I mean, there's guys in other places that could, you know, pop their head out and you'd be like, holy smokes, who's this guy?
Yeah.
That is my excitement for this. These guys actually get to go show.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I talked to Caden Birdie yesterday, and he's going to be Mr. Reliable, right? He's been there and done that, a veteran guy of the UAlbany program now. I did watch Rose a little bit. Man, he flies. He's got a ton of speed there. And I said this earlier in the show, Jared. I think you're going to throw the ball a little bit to Carter Moses. Looks like he's really developed into a pretty good tight end.
Yeah, I mean, Carter might be our most veteran player as far as snaps go in the program, you know, here at Albany. And, you know, he's just grown and grown and grown and grown and grown. And, you know, Carter was a little bit of a learning curve coming in because he was more of a big receiver than he was an actual tight end. And I could definitely, you know, we've made more of a concerted effort to involve the tight end in this year's offense. And we've shown the ability to do that in the past, you know, when Greeny was here. So there's no doubt about it. Carter, Steve Mahar, Riley Englehart, all those guys are really good tight ends. And, you know, we could make a dent in some defenses with them.
And I know you say running back, you have like three number ones when you go Wudell, Uga, and Reg. They've all had outstanding preseason.
Yeah, and, you know, the great thing about those three is, you know, if one guy's pressing early in a game and the other guy is just hot, we're going to roll with the hot hand, you know. But I think all of those are guys who could carry, you know, 18 to 22 rushes a game. So you multiply that by three, and that's a lot of running the ball. But at least we have the option to do so. You know, late in the year last year, we were down bad, and, you know, Faisal was down, and JoJo was down, and Griff was down, and Alex stepped up. So, like, we know in college football games, all three of these guys can play at a high level.
Coach, how impactful has the one and the only Frank Rocco been on you and this football team so far?
Well, let me tell you, like, Frank is invaluable. You know, he's a self-proclaimed legend, but he is, in fact, a legend. He actually took something out of my office a couple minutes ago because he told me I needed ironed. And sure enough, he brought it back to my office. So there's no, just like Gary Bertier, you don't replace a Frank Rocco. You know, he's a legend of this program that will live in infamy for sure.
He is the one and the only Frank Rocco. I tell you what else I noticed yesterday, too, and I have been to three practices, and he was really good last year, and he's a great young man. But I think your punting game is in really good shape with Owen Lawson going into this year.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've never met a great punter who's a normal bird, you know, and Owen would sit here and tell you he's not a normal bird, you know, and he's a different dude. But he's kicking the ball with insane height right now. He's getting it to turn over and with distance as well. So, you know, he's improved. He's worked on some, you know, the finer points of the game and, you know, how to spin a ball back and, you know, what his depth is. You know, just like a great golfer, he really understands what club to use and what scenario. And, you know, he's going to be a weapon for us.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to getting this thing rolling, Jared. And I look forward to seeing you guys tonight as we kick off our UAlbany Football Weekly Coaches Show, which will also be sponsored by Broadview Federal Credit Union. And we thank them, Michael Castellana and that whole crew for stepping up, Christy O'Toole for the TV side of things and also the radio. So we're fully sponsored, Coach, locked in and ready to go, my friend.
Let's roll, Raj.
I'll see you tonight.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks
Jared. Appreciate you. That's Jared Ambrose. All right, it's hour number three on a Wednesday. Roger Weiland, Michael Johnson Jr., Hunter DePace, and the Yankees coming up at 12:25 at a pregame show as they try to sweep the lowly Washington Nats, play that little bully ball that they like to play. Beat up on the bad teams, can't beat the good teams. That's the narrative I'm seeing of this Yankee team, but they'll sweep today. I have no question about that, and they'll be pounding their chest after they win today. How about that? Dave Schoenfield, good afternoon, my friend. How are you today?
I'm good. I like your narrative, though. I think the Red Sox are like 500 against, you know, good teams, too. So it's kind of the curse of the AL this year, right? Everybody's kind of mediocre.
So do you think some of what I just said with the Yankees is true?
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. They'll sweep the Nationals. They're terrible. You know, maybe Anthony Volpe will get a hit today. but, hey, you know what? In the AL, you beat the teams you're supposed to beat. That'll get you into the playoffs in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this Yankee team right now, I mean, there's no, in my opinion, they will make the playoffs some way or another. I don't know that they're going to catch the Toronto Blue Jays and win the division, but they're only 4.5 games back, so there's still time to do that. But the Yankees are a playoff team. Is that fair?
I think it's fair. I mean, I'm looking at the Royals, and they have a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way. They're playing well. I guess I would say they're more likely to catch Seattle. Those teams have a big series in September. The Red Sox look pretty solid. I think the Yankees are pretty solid. So maybe it's Seattle or even Houston who the Royals end up catching, you know, depending on who wins the AL West and who's in the wild card. But I just have a feeling we're going to get one team sneak in there, and that'll be Kansas City.
We're talking with ESPN senior MLB writer Dave Schoenfield, hour number three on Big Board Sports on a Wednesday, 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, and of course the free 104.5 The Team app. David, you know, you mentioned Anthony Volpe, one for his last 32, 0-for-4 last night. He's up near the tops of Major League Baseball in errors. You know, with his two-game benching, I mean, is it fair to say and safe to say, David, in your own personal opinion, that, you know, his days of consistently playing, if he continues to struggle, could be over sometime in the near future?
Yeah, look, you look at some of the key factors down the stretch as these likely playoff teams, you know, get ready for October. That's one of the biggest questions. Aaron Boone's going to have to figure this out. Who is the Yankees shortstop? Because Volpe's been so terrible, you know, he's borderline unplayable unless he suddenly, you know, figures things out. I don't know what's the offense. We get it. He's not going to be the offensive player maybe we thought when he first came up. But this guy won a gold glove as a rookie in 2023. And now the defense, not just the errors, but the defensive metrics are poor, saying his range isn't there. There's obviously the weird occasional mental error where he just doesn't seem to be into the game. So is he your shortstop? Is Jose Caballero your shortstop? He can play the position. He's hit well since joining the Yankees. So Aaron Boone, you don't want to be going back and forth throughout all of September, and then you enter the playoffs and you're like, who's our shortstop? I think Aaron Boone's going to have to make a call. Maybe Volpe gets one last week, and if he doesn't do something the next five or six games, it might be time to move on.
And, David, you know, well, first of all, we had him as the next Derek Jeter when he first came up. So some of that's on the New York media, as we did have him in the same sentence as Jeter, which was ridiculous. But you know who else needs to wake up? I hate to say this, but time to wake Aaron Judge up right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, again, he's never going to say, you know, is the injury, you know, the shoulder, is that affecting his hitting? But certainly since he came off the IL, the offensive production has been down, you know. Now, it hasn't been, you know, that many games, but it's been enough games to have a little concern here. Like, was he going to keep up what he was doing the first 4 months? No, that was unsustainable, but you'd like to get him back to that level, obviously. And I think he's, unless we hear something that he's, you know, that the injury is affecting his swing, I think he'll bounce back and get on one of his patented home run tears.
David, you look at this Mets team who obviously are on the, you know, if they sweep today, I mean, they could be four back at the Phillies and they'll see them again, and they've had their number. Just a week ago, Roger and I were like, you know, it could be doomsday for the Mets. They're only a half game clear of the Reds, now creating a little separation, and they've been playing much better. What do you make of the Mets? And if they win tonight, you know, four back of the Phillies, is the NL East, is it that unrealistic that the Mets can make a late push here to win the division?
No, like you say, to win today, you're right there, and those teams have one more four-game series in a couple weeks. So, yeah, they're still in, especially with Zach Wheeler out for the year. The Mets, you know, predicting the Mets, you know, may as well pull out the astrology chart and the crystal ball, and because who knows with the Mets, right? I mean, the offense looks good again, but then there was a stretch where it was terrible. The starting pitching, you know, was great that first 2 months, and really has kind of been up and down since then. The bullpen, you know, they traded for Ryan Helsley thinking he was going to be this big key setup guy to Edwin Diaz. He's been terrible. So he hasn't been the solution in the late game bullpen that they were expecting. Like the Yankees, I think the Mets are ultimately still a playoff team, and it's just, can they catch the Phillies? Five games, I guess, technically right now, is that's a lot to make up over a month. But they're in it, and at the minimum, they're going to win a wild card.
Yeah, I think, you know, yeah, they'll be a wild card team. And it may be the surprise team, at least where they're at now, because I didn't predict this back then. We make a lot of predictions that don't come true here. But I'm a little surprised that the Boston Red Sox look like they're going to be a playoff team too, and a dangerous one if they get in.
Yeah, no doubt. I think I actually am predicting that they're going to catch the Blue Jays and win that division. They look really good right now. It's funny because you go back to the you know, start of the season, spring training, the Red Sox were kind of like that sexy pick, like, oh, they can win the division. And then, of course, the start of the season wasn't great. The Rafael Devers trade, and they plummeted right after that trade, and everybody wrote them off. And I think give a lot of credit to Alex Cora. You don't want to give too much credit to the manager. The players win and lose the games. But he kind of kept that steady hand. The organization never panicked. And this kid, Roman Anthony, and this guy is going to be a superstar. You know, he's already an on-base machine. The power he's got the raw power. He's going to start hitting more home runs. I mean, what an addition he's been. And just, they're a fun, exciting team to watch play.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's quickly getting to be end of regular season and almost postseason time. Keep up the great work with what you do, David. We always enjoy your great insight here on ESPN Radio in Albany.
All right, you bet, guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
David. David Schoenfield